We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 136. We are recording during extra innings on Sunday night. Chapman just blew the save. Scott, when he doesn't have it, he does not have it. He is like a lost puppy out there just winging it. Some guys can sort of battle through, but when Chapman doesn't have it, and it doesn't happen all the time, but I have no confidence in him sometimes.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy because, one, if he doesn't have it, you can get rid of all of the other secondary pitches too because he just throws the fastball. Then you got guys like, if you're playing a team like the Cubs who have, you know, good hitters up and down the lineup, they can hit the fastball. I don't care if it's coming 103 or 95. It doesn't matter. It's a fastball. They can hit it. Major league players can hit a fastball if they know it's coming. So, yeah. But when he's off, his control is everywhere. So, frustrating. Three-run lead, you got to close that up. Especially about the team that you just came from, you got to close that up.
And unlike that game against Boston a couple weeks ago where he looked gassed for whatever reason, he was throwing 96, which is soft for Chapman. I mean, he was throwing hard tonight. He just, like you said, he couldn't locate. And so he walked the leadoff hitter and he fell behind every hitter, gave up a couple hits. Nothing was really hit that hard. But yeah, walking guys and then fell behind Bryant, had to put him on. You could tell Girardi didn't want to automatically intentionally walk Bryant because I don't think
his
he had
control.
Confidence. Yeah, he had no confidence in Chapman's control. And first pitch, Rizzo standing all over the plate like he did. I could just sense something like that was going to happen. Hit him right in the forearm.
I don't know how his forearm didn't shatter, first of all, because that hit the side of the forearm. It looked like it hit smack on the bone. That's a career ender for Mark Teixeira. Career ending bat on
well,
ball.
Well, he did have wrist issues.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that would end a career if it was, no matter when in the career, that's done. But yeah, I mean, the dude was all over the place and, you know, of course, blowing that three-run lead. You can't, I mean, when your control's all over the place, they're just going to sit there and wait for you, and that's what happened.
Anyone blaming Joe West tonight, please? There's nothing I hate more than blaming umps, refs, whatever it may be in sports. That's the lamest excuse ever.
No, I mean, he's frustrating. You can swear and curse at him, but it's not his fault.
He was equally sucky for the Cubs, too, tonight.
Yeah, it's not on the umpire. I mean, it's on Aroldis Chapman 100%.
And it ruins a otherwise amazing weekend in Wrigley.
Yeah, I don't know if it ruins the whole thing. But
oh, it ruins it for me.
First
I'm in a
of
bad
all, the,
mood. I was in a great
outcome,
mood earlier.
Yeah, well, that's because this is just happening right now. I mean, we're in the 10th. It's still going on, and we don't know the outcome of the game yet. But the fact is that they should have won that game. They should have swept. Everything was going perfectly. You get your closer in. Ellsbury gives you another couple of runs, and you can't finish the deal. I mean, come on. This is why we paid you all this money, kid. Let's do it.
Karma for maybe stealing that win on Friday afternoon.
I guess. I don't know. That's not karma. That was a beautiful win. There's no karma for a win like that when Gardner comes in and hits a bomb in windy conditions.
Speaking,
no karma for that.
Speaking of that stolen win on Brett Gardner's three-run homer, use code Gardner for 25% off in the Bronx Pinstripes fan shop. Got a bunch of sweet gear in there. El Kraken, who is back. We got the Judge shirts. We got all sorts of stuff. So go check it out on BronxPinstripes.com fan shop. Also on BronxPinstripes.com, you can get your ticket to the June 10th event. We are about a month away. So if you have not bought your ticket yet, go buy it. We are approaching our ticket goal. I don't want to say limit because we got word maybe we can go over, but we're approaching our goal.
Yeah, we're right at that. We're getting close to the original allotted amount of originally it was 100, then it went up to 250. And there's talk of them extending it, but it's not 100% yet. So if you haven't gotten your tickets, they've been coming in all weekend too. Go get them and make sure that you get your spot for that for the June 10th event. Also, we're gonna keep an eye out if you are waiting for whatever reason and the tickets are still available. We are gonna have kind of a hard deadline to get your T-shirt for that day too, because we have to get them printed and such. So keep an ear out for that too.
Tell any Yankee fan you may know, any friend who who maybe is on the fence about getting in involved in this Yankees team this year, although I don't know why they would be at this point, to come and buy tickets to that June 10th event. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I cannot wait.
Before we get into it, let me tell you a little bit about Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon is a leisure wear company. They sell some ridiculously comfortable shirts, hoodies, pants, socks, underwear. This is the one-stop shop for all men's leisure wear. I am currently wearing the sweatpants. And also, if you work from home like I do, and you don't want to get dressed very often, and you want to wear something very comfortable during the day, again, like I do, go for Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon has some really comfortable stuff. The sweatpants are awesome. They are extremely comfortable. You can even use them for working out. Sometimes I don't change, and it's a good thing for me because it's very, very convenient. Not only do they have awesome stuff, they have underwear, socks, shirts that look good, but they perform very well every day. You can get 20% off MackWeldon.com by using promo code Bronx. Again, that's MackWeldon.com, 20% off using the promo code Bronx.
All right, let's get into it. So, like we've been saying, we're recording during the game, so we might have a range of emotions depending on if the game is resolved right here. But I don't want to, like I said, it kind of is ruining my mood about this weekend, but it has been a great weekend in Wrigley. The Yankees certainly made a statement going in against the defending world champs into their house, and they stole that game on Friday. They kicked their ass on Saturday. It looked like they were going to win with the sweep too. But the thing that stuck out to me, and it sort of has been the trend all season, the main reason the Yankees, I think, their offense is rolling is because their outfield production has been off the charts. All four of their outfielders have been playing way better than we thought they were going to. Obviously, Judge. I mean, we've talked about Judge on every single episode. Gardner, who had the three-run homer on Friday. Ellsbury, who did have a home run in his first game back on Sunday night. And also Hicks with the huge game, batting in the two-hole. It seems like Girardi loves putting him in that two-hole because he's a switch hitter. But Hicks has been tremendous as well. The Yankees have four outfielders who probably all deserve to be starting right now.
Yeah, and Gardner started off very slow. This is a guy that I was listening on the ESPN broadcast, and I hadn't realized this, but 10 days ago they said he had zero home runs and zero RBIs, and now he's got five home runs and 10 RBIs. So he's had a hell of a 10 days, that's for sure. He's had two games where he's hit two home run or multi-home runs, and you know he's definitely come on. Because before that, there were definitely, you know, there were people talking about, well, hey, if Gardner continues on this trend, including us, including me, if Gardner continues on this trend and Hicks continues on his trend, this is an easy decision. Gardner is going to have to sit and Hicks is going to have to get more playing time. But Gardner obviously saw what they were doing, heard the whispers, and started to perform on a ridiculous level. So, I mean, he's as hot as anybody right now. The whole and now all four of them are hot together. So, yeah, you're right. The production's been pretty phenomenal.
Gardner is notoriously a streaky hitter anyway, and he's in the middle of one of those streaks. And who knows, maybe because he was kind of, I thought he was playing well at the beginning of the season, and then he had that collision. So maybe that kind of screwed him up a little bit. Who knows? But it's a good problem for the Yankees to have, where they have four outfielders that all need playing time. Judge, I mean, I don't think they're doing anything with Judge because he's been their best player and he's a rookie, so they're not going to mess with his time. So it's really, other than occasional days off for Judge, it's three players for two spots. It's how Girardi's going to manage having Hicks, Gardner, and Ellsbury in the lineup. Sunday night, we saw Ellsbury and Hicks in because of the lefty Lester on the mound, but I think Girardi's going to do anything in his power to keep getting Hicks in that lineup.
I cannot not talk about that swing from Chris Carter. I'm sorry. We were watching this game. I don't know if you have it on, but it was a 10-foot swing and miss. He missed the ball by 10 feet. 10 feet.
I saw it.
Oh, my God. This is why we can't record during games, because I cannot hold back.
I also can't stay up until 3 o'clock in the morning for a May baseball game.
Unbelievable. No, the fact that Girardi's going to have to, you know, do the juggling around. Look, it's a very good problem. There's going to be days, you know, last year we saw when he wanted to get Hicks in, that fourth outfielder spot, it's good to have a guy that is playing well. I mean, he's going to play quite a bit. So, and especially as you get into the season when there's less days off, you know, the four outfielder thing is not going to be a problem. But, you know, all of these guys are most likely not going to be hitting as well as they are at the same time too. So there's going to be more days that are, I think, are obvious for someone to sit.
Are you buying what Hicks is doing?
I mean, it's, I don't know. I don't really know the player, I guess, you know, I don't think anybody does. We saw what he was last year. We heard about the immense talent. We know he's a first round draft pick that has, you know, all world abilities. I heard someone saying that he's a scratch golfer. He's a hell of an athlete.
Yeah. A-Rod said that.
Yeah. So look at the A-Rod knows. A-Rod knows the back end stuff.
Because how well you hit it on the links is a direct correlation to how well you can hit a fastball at 96 miles an hour.
I understand, but I think he's just speaking to the athleticism. And right. We knew he was an athletic guy. But I don't know whether to buy it or not. I mean, he's playing well. He looks comfortable. So, you know, maybe this is a thing where he needs to play more often and he can get into a groove. I don't know. It's too short of a time for me to know what kind of a player he is.
How do you think Cashman's walking around with his chin held high saying, I told you so, I told you so?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, first of all, the trade is a no-brainer. Even if he didn't live up to the expectations, to me, it's still a no-brainer.
We said that from the beginning, though.
Yeah, because of the catching depth. So the fact that he's doing this now, yeah, oh yeah, he looks good.
I think also, like I said earlier, because he's a switch hitter, I think Girardi really loves sticking him in that two-hole. We saw him put Headley in the two-hole a couple times. Headley's kind of come crashing back down to earth a little bit, but I think Girardi loves having a switch hitter up at the top of the order.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, that affords him to do the lefty-righty thing with ease if he has a guy that he could trust in the two spot that's a switch hitter. So, yeah, he loves that.
The outfield production, though, has been the catalyst to the offense. Obviously, there's other guys that are hitting. Castro's leading the league in hitting, but last year, their offense was horrible. And then when they traded away Carlos Beltran, their offense in the outfield was non-existent. And this year, like I said, four players who are all worthy of starting positions. Does, though, the fact that they have all four of those guys maybe let's see if Cashman wants to go shop Gardner or he's not going to shop Ellsbury because no one's going to buy him, but really Gardner is the guy that would be moved if he keeps up this performance.
Yeah. Or if they're double down on Hicks and Hicks is a guy we'll let's sell while he's as hot as possible. that's a possibility. You never know. But yeah, I think it definitely affords options. You know, there's also, you know, a slew of minor league outfielders that are highly touted as well in the Yankee system. So I think it does give him some options knowing that he has four guys that can play, but let's not get too ahead of ourselves by, you know, overreacting to a month and a few days of four outfielders playing very well. Because if you remember when we had the chaos on the base path with Ellsbury and Gardner, they were both hot at the same time, and they both tend to do that in the beginning of the seasons. So let's see how this season progresses into the summer. And like you said before, Gardner is a streaky player. You know, this could all come crashing back down to earth, and you know, we could be calling for his head again. So I don't foresee this being, you know, an entire season of four guys playing out of their minds.
Well, the fact that they are all playing really well and the Yankees are playing so well now has people saying, what are the Yankees going to do at the trade line? Who are they going to go out and trade for? That's been like the main talk this past week.
Which is crazy that we've gotten to that point already, right? I mean, it's like the fact that this team has so overachieved is pretty unbelievable.
I feel like trade deadline talk comes earlier and earlier in every year, like Christmas. You see Christmas decorations up after Halloween. You hear trade deadline talk in May.
People love rumors. They love rumors. There's no doubt about it. So it's fun to talk about because it's like fantasy baseball. It's like fantasy sports, you know, talking about trades. It's very similar in the sense that you get to play GM. So people like to do that.
Go ahead.
I'm just going to say, I think the obvious choice is that the Yankees are going to go after a pitcher. And with the aforementioned outfield playing so well, then you have some bullets to throw at some pitchers. It's not like there's like major guys available for those types of players. So,
yeah, Gardner. If you do trade a guy like Gardner, he's not getting you back a pitcher that's going to help you win now. No team is going to, like, for instance, let's just use Jose Quintana as an example. The White Sox are not trading you Quintana for Brett Gardner plus others. They're trading you Quintana for young players, not old players.
Oh, no doubt. That's why I'm saying there's a slew of outfielders. I mean, I'm not just saying Brett Gardner. I think they're, because the outfield is a position of depth at this point. It's a value position for the Yankees, even looking down into the minor leagues. I think that's an area where they can start looking at, you know, maybe switching one of these outfielders into a pitcher, or, you know, combining a few guys and going out and getting somebody. And I don't think it's going to be a top line guy at this point. But again, it really does. It depends when, you know, where we're going to be in 3 months or 2 months, 2.5 months.
Well, it was that the Yankees are going to be sellers again at this trade deadline. It doesn't look like they're going to be sellers at the 2017 deadline unless things go horribly, horribly wrong over the next month and a half, 2 months.
No, yeah, it's not happening.
I sort of said it earlier. Chase Headley has come crashing back down to earth. Over the last 15 games, he's batting .226 with a .284 on-base percentage. I know he had a two-run double on Saturday, but I was sort of joking on Twitter that I was going to eviscerate Headley after that inexcusable error in the ninth inning on Friday night. But he's kind of turned back into a pumpkin, and people are, I think, ignoring that because the team is still rolling.
I don't think people are ignoring it. I think people are just so shell-shocked from what he did before that they're not, you know, they're not looking at this as something that they didn't think was going to happen. I mean, they kind of knew this was going to happen. I feel like everybody was like, okay, he got off to a really hot start. When's it going to come? When's it going to come down? When's he going to wake up? And obviously he is. So this is expected, I believe, from most Yankee fans.
But he was batting .400 after, say, the first 15 games and batting .226 in the next 15 games. How about he just hits .285?
Yeah, maybe it'll land on .285 at the end of the season. Who knows? I mean,
but what I'm saying is,
he's playing better. That's for damn sure.
A consistent performance. That's just give me a consistent.
Because he's not a consistent player. That's just the bottom line. That's not who he is. He's not a guy that's going to hit .280 consistently. He's not a great hitter. He's a guy who gets hot and then doesn't, and then he sucks, and then he got hot, and now he sucks again. But you know what? He still is contributing. That two-run double on Saturday, like you said, like, the guy's still contributing. Obviously, he's a well-respected and well-liked guy in the clubhouse and is helping out some of these young kids, so who knows? He's a good veteran role player right now.
We had a mailbag question last week about moving Headley over to first base and Torres at third while Bird is out. Even though Headley's sucking right now, I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm so done with Chris Carter. I can't keep watching that guy every night.
The side angle of that swing and miss was unbelievable. I mean, he was literally just swinging the bat, and it didn't matter where the pitch was. That guy might not even thrown the ball, and he would have swung. It's so lazy.
He closes his eyes and swings.
I swear to God he does. It's the most ridiculous swing, but I mean, Holiday looked pretty good at first. I'm not, you know, just saying.
Adequate.
Pretty good over there.
Adequate.
Yeah.
He made a throw over to second base on a ground ball to first base to get the force out. And I kind of forgot. I was like, oh, that looks like a guy who's played first base before. And I think he only has a handful of games in his career. He didn't play in spring training at all at first base, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, but he does have experience with the Cardinals. He's played first. So it's not a lot of games by any means, but he definitely, he's an athlete. He's an athlete. Okay. He's an athlete. That's all I'm saying. This guy did do anything. Old man strength. Put him anywhere on the field, he'll do it.
Do you know what I said, Carter? I said he has a Jim Caldwell face where he just looks confused and lost as to where he is.
Yeah. I don't, there's like no emotion. The dude just, he drives me nuts. I can't stand looking at his face. I really can't. He's really, I mean, I don't know how much longer we can actually, you know, put up with this, because he's that bad. He really is terrible.
Well, until Bird comes back.
Yeah, and Bird's coming back soon. I mean, well, hopefully. Is it, what, 10 days is
10-day deal.
End of next week, and then he's going to go to Scranton.
Yeah. But let's play the hypothetical game. Bird comes back and looks equally as lost as he did for the last month. What happens then?
He'll go to Scranton.
Bird?
He'll send him, yeah, Bird will, he'll, he will, if he comes back and he is, quote, healthy, and the bone bruise is a non-issue anymore, and he's still struggling, they're going to put him in Scranton. They have no choice. At some point, something has to give. They can't just let this guy out there every single day and just look lost, because that's what he's looked. He's looked overmatched.
Cashman said they weren't considering that, though. Four or five days ago? Before he went on the DL, they said they were not considering sending him back down yet.
Yeah, okay. At this point, and because they're probably using the ankle as an excuse. So if the ankle is fine and he's coming back after the rehab and he's still struggling, then it's got to be a consideration. They have to consider it. Whatever, even if he says he's not, there's no possible way they don't have meetings about that.
Right. It was a homecoming for Castro and, to a lesser extent, Chapman.
And Adam Warren.
He got a World Series ring.
Yeah, in behind closed doors. He was not invited to the cool club ceremony.
What are you doing with that ring if you're Adam Warren?
Putting it in a shoebox, tucking it, or putting it in a safety deposit box somewhere. It's going to stay there for a long time.
I'm selling it.
Yeah, maybe not now, though. I think you got to wait a little bit.
Why?
I don't know. I feel like it'll increase in value.
Yeah, maybe. After 108 years. But Castro was definitely fired up going back home. You could tell he had a little pep in his step.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you can tell that he, you know, I think he was definitely salty from getting traded, you know, at that point that he did, especially for who he did. If you look back at that trade, it's really terrible. It really is bad.
They traded him for like a bullpen piece, essentially, is what Warren was going to be on the Cubs.
Yeah, a bullpen piece and Brendan Ryan, who has a phenomenal mustache, but that's not enough to get Starlin Castro, in my opinion. But I don't know how Theo
was also a salary dump for the Cubs.
I guess so. But were they really worried about that at that point?
Well, no, yeah, because
they chose Ben Zobrist over Starlin Castro. That over Starlin Castro. That's what they did.
But
and at that point, they were just trying to get a bullpen.
But they used the money saved from Castro to give it to Zobrist.
Yeah, okay, but it's the same player. That's the thing. It's the same position. I mean, he's playing second base. I mean, granted, Zobrist has more flexibility and he's more of a utility guy, but the money wasn't really saved. I mean, they gave a boat ton of money to Zobrist as well, so it wasn't a financial decision. It was a you-got-no-place-on-this-team decision. They don't think you're that good decision. That's what it was. It was a slight to Castro, no doubt.
I think he's taken it that way.
He should.
I don't know if it actually was, but I think he's definitely taken it that way, which is fine if you're using it as a chip on your shoulder, more power to him.
Damn right. I mean, I think what they saw is a guy who wasn't maturing at the rate that they wanted to. They knew that they were ready to go. They needed more veteran leadership in that clubhouse. And when they saw Zobrist was available, he's the guy that could play second base, can move around, do different things. He's the guy. We'd rather him. We'd rather that guy who's a winner coming over from Kansas City, knows how to win. We need that in the clubhouse. And Castro, I think, you know, was labeled as an immature guy at that point. And, you know, whether he had been there for the bad years or not, there was no love lost there, I don't believe. And I think that's when they send him packing. And I think Castro does absolutely take it as a slight.
Chapman got his World Series ring, was giving hugs to the Cubs players, and then they shoved it to him on Sunday night. Getting back to the Sunday night meltdown from Chapman, Yankees fans were so spoiled because we didn't have that kind of paranoia when it came with Mariano Rivera for so many years. But when Chapman is lost, I feel like he has no shot on the mound, and it's a real issue.
I don't think I get that feeling that he has no shot though. I mean, he's still got the. When you're saying lost, you mean just the command is out,
command
out
is
the
lost.
Window at that
yeah,
point?
Well, command is lost because he's always got, I mean, the stuff, even tonight, it wasn't for a lack of stuff. It was the fact that he was behind every hitter 2-0.
Do you think there's any correlation with the colder weather and Chapman
sweating
not able to
his balls
grip?
Off.
Yeah, but it's still, I mean, your hands are still cold. You're still got, it's hard to get that grip on the ball. I don't know. I'm just saying, when he was in Boston, he was struggling, cold weather. When he was tonight, he was struggling, cold weather. He had some moments in the playoffs, cold weather. The dude has shown, obviously, when it's blazing hot out and he can grip that ball, that he can lighten it past people. Or people are just waiting for him to make a mistake, waiting for him to go outside the strike zone. I don't know. They're being more patient with him now, too.
Well, I think just sometimes when he doesn't have his command, he kind of loses any sort of approach. And it's just, let me try and wing it up there as hard as I can and hope for the best. Sometimes that works. It worked a couple weeks ago in Boston. He got out of it. Couldn't get out of it this time.
Yeah, I think it really depends on who you're playing, too. When you have an opponent like the Chicago Cubs, who just won the World Series and have one of the best lineups in baseball, you're not going to get by with just that. Like I'm saying, everybody can hit a fastball if they know it's coming. They all can hit.
And it wasn't really the Yankees tacked on a couple runs for insurance to make it 4-1. They did leave Judge at third base with no outs, but again, they it was a 3-run lead with Chapman going into the ninth. You feel confident.
Should be game over.
Be game over.
Yeah.
The Saturday game was a romp, 11-6. That was the game that everyone just got really mad at Tommy Lane. And just a little FYI for everybody, Scott and I recorded our mailbag questions before the game, so we may say some stuff about the bullpen that might not line up exactly to what happened, what transpired on Sunday night. But I think overreacting after one game is not also not smart. But the 11-6 romp on Saturday, the only guy that didn't get into the party was Judge.
Yeah, and that's fine. You know, he's allowed to have a bad day every once every 2 weeks. He's allowed to have a bad day. But yeah, it was good to see everybody else. Sanchez was I tell you, when you look at the possibilities with Judge and Sanchez together, I mean, that's fun. That's fun thinking about those two guys protecting each other and being in, you know, the center of the core of your lineup. That's going to be freaking ridiculous if Judge continues to be the player that he's shown in the first month and a half.
I'm not going to lie. I got excited, like slightly aroused watching Sanchez walk to the plate right after Judge.
Okay. I see. I mean, I'm expecting it to be vice versa though, right? I mean, Judge is going to be, if you have the lineup slight, you know, putting it the way you think it's going to land, it's most likely going to land Sanchez Judge. I don't know.
Whatever.
Why.
Whatever it is. Yeah. Doesn't matter to me. And hopefully Bird's there too.
Yeah, there. Then he gets his righty lefty righty.
The Yankees knocked Brett Anderson out of the game in the first inning, apparently with an injury. But I think he was just sort of hurt feelings. He was throwing absolutely nothing up there.
Do they have a DL stop for hurt feelings? Because
yeah,
he's now on the DL. Also, this dude was throwing junk. I mean, he was throwing nothing, and they were just lighting him up. So yeah, I think his ego is bruised. I think that's a bone bruise. That's a deep bone bruise to the ego for Brett Anderson, who's been terrible this year, by the way.
Lost in the Sunday night blown save was the fact that Severino bounced back from a horrible start last time out and looked really, really good tonight on a huge stage. Sunday night baseball, going up against John Lester, going up against the Cubs. He looked nasty.
His stuff was popping. I mean, free and easy. I feel like I've said this 100 times about him. When he's on, that fastball is just easily coming out of his fingers, and it jumps on you. They had I don't know if you saw this, but I think it was in warmups or one of the first couple pitches of the game. They had the camera behind the catcher showing Severino throwing a ball, and it was outside the zone. But god damn, did that ball pop on the batter. It feels like he's throwing 110 miles an hour with how easy it is.
He was reaching 99 in the last inning that he pitched, in the seventh inning.
Yeah. They had 100 on the gun at some point.
I said last week I didn't buy it, but this is two starts in a row where the gun is reading high 90s and reaching triple digits. I still think something's going on with the guns this year, but he's got one of the fastest average velocities for fastballs.
The highest for, yeah, he's got the highest for starters. And I believe it. I mean, whatever it's definitely high 90s. This dude's throwing gas. And his changeup looked good. He had a strikeout in the first inning on the changeup. The slider's looking good. So when that slider is on, that slider is a filthy pitch. I think that's his best pitch. But the fastball with that high velocity, if he can locate it, he's very, very tough to hit.
Did you see ESPN doing the breakdown of his mechanics between a slider and a fastball and potentially saying that he was tipping his pitches?
Well, they were talking about that Boston game and the fact
Blue Jays game.
And that they were looking for something. But they also said that Rothschild went back and looked at the tape and didn't see anything. And the one screenshot that they showed with his foot at a slight angle, like, come on, that there's no way anybody's picking that up. And I did they show that it was repeated over and over again? They just showed one pitch. If Rothschild looked at that and they decided that it wasn't anything, then I got to believe it wasn't anything. I mean, otherwise they would address it. But no, I'm not buying what they said.
Boone said that some players would be able to pick up on that.
I guess. Maybe like a handful of people in the major leagues can watch that foot, then also pick up the ball coming out of your hand, and then pick up a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. That's a lot of things to look at.
You know what I always wondered about tipping pitches is that it would almost seem like it would screw with players more like screw with batters more, because like you said, you're looking for something else instead of just concentrating on trying to hit the ball. You only have a split second to hit the ball regardless. But like now, if you're thinking about, okay, what's he doing with his glove? Is he tilting his foot? Is he wiggling his hand? Like, is he turning his back more? Like all these little subtleties, I feel like will just screw with your head more than just trying to hit the ball.
Yeah, I guess it just depends on when they're actually showing whatever they're doing to show you, you know, in the, that's why I think this is complete horseshit with the foot, because the foot is coming up and, you know, it's landing within a quarter of a second. And then you have to make the decision on what's coming out of his hand. There's so many things that are coming in that very split second that it's so late in the mechanics that I can't see very many people picking that up.
All right, before we get into mailbags, I want to tell you guys about ZipRecruiter. Are you guys hiring? If you are, do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place is not enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, and who wouldn't, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. You can find candidates in any city or any industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. There's no juggling emails and calls. You can quickly screen candidates. You can rate them, hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. Right now, listeners to the Bronx Pinstripe Show can post jobs to ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/Bronx. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Bronx. One more time, ZipRecruiter.com/Bronx. All right, Scott, let's get into some mailbags. The first mailbag question is from Zach Waters, and he says, I know one is still going on and recency bias is a thing, but whose run do you think was more exciting? Gary's in August and September of 2016 or Judge's in April and early May of 2017? Scott, I actually thought this was a really tough question to answer, and ever since I read it, I've been debating it in my head.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing when you look at these two different scenarios is the time of the year, the time of the season when they're occurring. Sanchez obviously came up and took the world by storm when he was up after the trade deadline, and when he got called in to take the everyday catcher's job pretty much. And he was just hitting bomb after bomb after bomb after bomb, and it was actually putting the Yankees in a position to potentially compete, one that we never even thought was possible. So I feel like that one to me was more exciting in the moment, whereas Judge now, there's just, I feel like, holy crap, this guy is doing something we weren't expecting him to do at all. And there's just so much potential, but it's so early in the season that granted I'm excited about it, but I'm not at the same level excited about it, if that makes sense.
I agree with you that Gary's was more impressive because of how he single-handedly made the Yankees relevant after we thought that they gave up being relevant. So
yeah, that's a big deal. I mean, I think that the scenario in that sense is huge.
He also, he put himself into rookie of the year conversation with a month of baseball, and that's never happened before. So as awesome as what Judge is doing, I think the nod goes to Sanchez, and this is totally a recency bias thing. And that's fine because Judge, like I said, he's been awesome, and he's the most exciting player on the Yankees, most exciting player in baseball so far. But like, have we already forgotten how freaking unbelievable Sanchez and how exciting Sanchez was in August and September of last year?
Yeah, I think we have. I think everybody does forget how incredible he was. Maybe it's not as much as they forget, but it's out of sight, out of mind, because he was not playing with Judge while Judge was doing these things. He was hurt and Judge was just lighting the world on fire. So yeah, out of sight, out of mind. Now that he's back, let's see if these guys can get hot at the same time, because that would be some exciting stuff watching these two guys get hot at the same time. That would be fun.
It's also more impressive to hit 20 home runs in a month while catching than while playing right field.
Yeah, I think everything with the way that it went down with Gary Sanchez, and like you said, they were not competing really before that, and this is a guy who carried the team through the hardest, you know, the hardest stretch of the baseball season. This is a guy who, you know, had not played that many games in his career either. I mean, that has to be said because, you know, he's used to playing a minor league season. They end earlier. He's going out there and playing in the, with the major league guys and dominating the entire Major League Baseball, all the games while he's up here. So, yeah, I got to give the nod to Sanchez on this one.
On August 1st of last year, after the Yankees traded everybody away, where would you have put Gary Sanchez on the Yankees, like, prospect list of the future? Like, he wasn't, I don't even think, in the top five in a lot of fans' minds.
Well, with the organization, he absolutely was. I mean, he was up there. But as far as people, I don't think a lot of people knew.
I don't think he was, because once they traded for Torres and Frazier, both of them were in the top five. I think people were more still looking forward to Aaron Judge in beginning of August of last year when Gary Sanchez got called up, even though Sanchez got the call up before Judge did. And then we had Caprellian and the other pitching prospects. I mean, in a month, he put himself from the Yankees hope he can be their catcher of the future, very nice player, to this guy is going to be the centerpiece of the next Yankees championship. He did that in 4 weeks.
Not only did he do that, but when he was in the minor leagues, I mean, he was not a home run hitter in the minor leagues. He was also a guy where I think his defense went under the radar. The organization knew what kind of defense he has, but it really wasn't, I don't think, as marketed as much. It wasn't talked about as much as defense or the fact that his arm is just ridiculous. So I think when we saw both sides of the ball that this guy was dominating pretty much in all aspects of the game, it took everybody back a little bit. And the other thing is, I don't know, like, when you're looking at the prospect list and he's up and you're looking at all the guys that came over, I mean, they were the rage at that point because they were the guys that we had got. Everybody's, like you said, the recency bias. Everybody's looking at them, seeing what they are, who are these guys. And they were not in our system, and they were highly ranked. So that goes a long way because we have not had the greatest history of top prospects doing well. So I think people were definitely more excited about those guys.
But now everyone trusts Cashman. They didn't trust him. They didn't trust him 6 months ago, but now he's maybe the hottest GM in the league. Except
now that he's allowed to do his job, you know, maybe he's allowed to do his job, and look what happens.
So speaking of recency bias, we got our next mailbag question from Scott, and who knows, this might be you. Since it's still early in the season, I want to overreact to Aaron Judge's start. I think of all the current players in Major League Baseball, he has the best chance at becoming the all-time home run king. Do you agree, or who do you think has a better chance?
This is an unbelievable question. It's an unbelievable question. And I'm pretty sure we have another one later about overreacting. Or no, this is the biggest overreaction one. So no, that's all he's not going to be the all-time home run king. I'm not even going to try to even think about something like that. After
yeah,
we
but
played
if he
a
hits
month of
80
baseball.
Home runs a year for the next 20 years.
Look, the league will make adjustments to Aaron Judge. There's no doubt about it. Gary Sanchez has, if you're looking at the way that he hits, the way his style, he's got a lot less holes in his swing, in his game offensively, than Aaron Judge. And if you're looking at some other players, Aaron Judge still has a long swing. I mean, granted, it's a compact swing for a guy who's 6'7 and 282, and he's made all the right adjustments. There's no doubt about it. He's got to get like just an unbelievable amount of credit. But as the season progresses, there will be holes exposed on Aaron Judge. This will be a thing. He will slump. He will not be hitting 330 or 340 by the end of the season. I guarantee that.
Yes,
he's a guy who's going to be 260, 270. I think that's the top of his batting average, in my opinion. So, look, he's going to run into a ton of home runs. There's no doubt about it. I'm not even remotely trying to think about things like this yet. Let's let this kid breathe.
Well, just for a little context, both Aaron Judge and Mike Trout are 25 years old, and Mike Trout has 150 some odd more home runs than Aaron Judge does.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good stat. He did come up. I forgot about that. People, I think, don't realize that either, is that he's an old rookie in baseball terms. He's an older rookie. So if you're talking about home run king, he's going to have to play a long time in order for that to happen. And good luck getting a 6'8 guy that weighs 275, 280 pounds playing for an extended period of time to get a record like that. Not happening.
I think if anyone's ever going to break that record, it will be somebody like Trout or Harper, who comes up when they're 19 or 20 years old, and then they just stay healthy their whole career and they play until they're 40, 43, 44 years old. Because that's honestly the only way you reach that is if, yes, you have to be a superstar and you have to hit a butt ton of home runs in your prime, but you also have to just hang on and hit a bunch of home runs when you're in your late 30s and early 40s.
Yeah, and if Bryce Harper does end up coming to Yankee Stadium, it will be a perfect situation for him to do it. Like you said, he came up super early. This is a guy that will most likely hit a good amount of home runs for the rest of his career. And once his legs start going and he needs to do the DH spot and he's a Yankee, good times for him to be hitting into right field as a DH. So that's probably the guy that he has the best chance, in my opinion.
I think last week, or maybe it was two or three shows ago, I casually dropped that 50 home runs is not out of the question for Aaron Judge, and you kind of mocked me. Do you still think it's out of the question?
Yeah, I think it's out of the question still. He's not going to hit 50 home runs. I still think he's going to – I think if he hit 40, it would be pretty remarkable at this point. I mean, granted, he has – what does he have, 13 now?
Yeah.
He's not going to stay at this pace. That's the thing. Everybody's like, well, he's got 13 already. It's only been a month. Well, no, he's not going to stay at this pace. It's just not going to happen. That's baseball, Susan. Nobody stays at that pace. It's not happening. So, you know, I think 40 – at this point, I think 40 is absolutely realistic, though.
So he's in the same class as Chris Carter.
Yeah, he's in the same class as Chris Carter. You're right. He's going to run into 40 home runs.
All right, what do we have next?
Next one is from Noah Ballard. He says, the bullpen has been so hyped this year and has kept an impressive ERA. But after the Orioles series, cracks are beginning to emerge. Holder can't seem to lock it down in pressure situations. Lane can't get three outs in a row. Mitchell and Sessa were just throwing batting practice and have since been optioned. Do you think the bullpen is as solid as the numbers indicate?
And just some numbers on the Yankees bullpen. They've pitched 84 innings, 2.68 ERA, which is fourth in baseball, and they've allowed a 204 batting average against, which is all tremendous numbers.
The thing about when you're looking at guys like Tommy Lane, and we got another
people
mailbag.
Were not happy with Tommy Lane on Saturday
we've
night.
Gotten some mailbags about Tommy Lane. I think there might have been a voicemail or two about Tommy Lane too. But yeah, I get it. Like he's one of those guys who is he's probably been on 30 teams. He's a left-hander. These guys will have jobs for the rest of their lives. Mike Stanton had a job forever because he's a left-handed middle reliever. Like literally, I'm going to make my kid a left-handed middle reliever.
Who was the lefty?
Because he'll have a job forever.
Who was the kind of sidearm lefty that the Red Sox had, and then the Yankees brought him over, and I think he played for legitimately like 15 teams in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name.
I can't think of his name either because, like you said, they're faceless players. They just hang on and hang on. There's no better job than being a lefty mediocre reliever. You just make bank for being mediocre.
Yeah, and you barely do anything. I mean, you're pretty much just occupying your time in the bullpen. And
Mike Myers?
Mike Myers. That's right. He was a one-stop guy. He was just a lefty specialist.
Oh yeah, coming from
he
one
wasn't
batter.
Just yeah. Tommy Lane at least comes in on like when other lefties are not in. Myers was a one batter guy. That was it. He came in to face David Ortiz when he was up, and David Ortiz usually freaking hit him too.
Oh yeah, I remember one specific game at Fenway Park. David Ortiz took Myers deep, and it was like into howling wind, and he hit one like 500 feet. It was just
yeah. That always would piss me off when we'd have a lefty specialist and he couldn't get the guy out or he let up a huge home run. You have one job. Unbelievable.
It's like Jason Shreve for a while, 2015.
But when you're looking at the numbers, and he's right, Mitchell and Sessa were not good, and they are part of the Scranton shuttle who will be up and back 100 times probably. And there's guys down there. There's a guy that was in spring training with us that is in AAA now, Joe Mantiply. Remember him? I did like a Mandel. He reminds me of Mandelbaum.
That's a name for you.
Yeah, he's a guy who I actually thought was going to be the lefty out of spring training. I thought he pitched really well in spring, and he seems like he has more stuff. Anyway, the point is that lefty will change also, and there are guys in the minor leagues who can, I think, take that role. So I don't think Tommy Lane is very far off from getting released.
And who cares?
Like, who cares? Exactly.
Like,
you're
people
right.
were really freaking out about Tommy Lane. And I understand it was frustrating to watch on Saturday night. I mean, the Yankees had an 11-3 lead, and Tommy Lane just sucked. Couldn't get anybody out. Friggin' Miguel Montero for the Cubs could get people out, and Tommy Lane couldn't get people out. But who cares? It's Tommy Lane. He's not going to be on this team. And if he is on this team, he's going to be pitching in mop-up role. I don't give a shit about Tommy Lane. I did have, though, sort of an afterthought on that Brian Mitchell pitching to first base back to pitcher thing. That was the game you were at, and then we had Rich on. So you and I really didn't talk about that game.
No, but, and I had no idea what was happening, by the way. Zero clue what was going on.
We all got Girardied. But Mitchell essentially had like an hour layoff. Yes, in theory, it was going to be really savvy for Girardi. You know, he was gonna not burn a pitcher, and he was gonna come back in, and Mitchell was gonna be able to pitch deep into extra innings. But he pitched the eighth inning, and then he pitched he pitched the ninth inning, and then he pitched the 11th inning. And by the time the 10th inning went by, it was like 45 minutes to an hour. So that's essentially like a pitcher sitting in a dugout for 45, 50 minutes. You don't expect that guy to come out fresh. So
he's not used to that either. Starters are the guys that can, you know, at least try to handle that. He's a relief pitcher right now.
It's just Girardi. That's Girardi overmanaging,
I guess. I mean, yeah, didn't he drop a ball at first base too? I mean, there was a foul ball, I think he dropped.
Yeah, and then he caught one later in the at bat, of course. The baseball gods give him second shot.
By the way, apparently anybody can play first base. That's the thing. That's what I got out of that.
Hey, Chris Carter's been playing a very smooth first base.
He has been, yeah. Like I said, anybody can play first base.
He's been more valuable
to
this team.
Except for Alex Rodriguez.
He's been more
valuable. Alex Rodriguez cannot play first base.
To this team defensively than offensively. That's another you can't predict baseball moment.
But to Noah's point, the fact that they're hyped, let's get back to the point, because I think what he's saying is, you know, the fact that they have that ERA, and if you remember back to last year after they made all those trades, the ERA was almost identical, right? Afterwards from what it was before. But the hype was before because of all the guys and the names and things like that. So the hype will continue because we have the names at the back, the Betances, the Chapman, and Clippard. Clippard has not been good so far. He hasn't been bad, but he's been he's been David Robertson like, you know, I don't know. He lets a lot of guys on. It seems like he gives you a lot of oh shit moments, but
felt comfortable when he's on the mound,
but he hasn't been, I mean, he's gotten out of the situation.
His
usually.
Numbers look okay, but something about when he's pitching, I'm kind of on the edge of my seat. I have more confidence when Adam Warren's on the mound than when Clippard so far this year.
And to the point of Holder, I do think that Girardi is bringing him in slowly. You know, we talked about this a few weeks ago. I think he pulled him out early at one batter. I don't remember what game that was, but I think he's really trying to put him in positions to succeed. And, you know, I do think Holder will be a guy that we can look at who's getting valuable experience right now, who's going to come back and be, you know, a crucial part of his bullpen later in the season. I think he's going to be one of those guys. He's got really good stuff. I think the Yankees think very highly of him. So he's one of those guys to watch as almost like in the Warren role. Like if he can really get the confidence of Girardi, I could see him being in a similar type role later in the season. But I'm still fine. I think the bullpen's good. We have some revolving doors, but who doesn't in their bullpen? They're middle relievers for a reason.
The bullpen's not going to be as good as it was in the first half of last year when they had the three-headed monster, but no bullpen will ever be that good again. But anytime you have Betances and Chapman in a bullpen, it's going to be fine. It's still going to be a strength on this team. If the Yankees falter this season, I really highly doubt it's going to be because of the bullpen. All right, next up, we have a question from Caden Robinson, and he says, with big pitching coming up in free agency, do the Yankees go after a guy like Jake Arrieta? And I was looking at the names on the 2018 free agent starting pitchers, and they were not as good as I thought, or is what you'd think based on this question. Yes, Arrieta's a free agent, but he's going to be 32 years old. Marco Estrada, John Lackey, Jeremy Hellickson, like these are the names we're looking at for 2018 starting pitchers free agents.
Yeah, to me that makes it even more interesting when you're looking at Tanaka opting out and what we do with Pineda after he's pitching well this season, like we all freaking predicted. You know he's going to pitch well just to drive us insane for another four-year contract.
Oh, if he keeps this up, it's going to be more than that. I mean, look at the names on that list. Pineda will be potentially the second most sought-after pitcher. Did I say Tanaka? I meant Pineda. If Tanaka's on the market, he'll be the most sought-after pitcher.
Yes.
If Pineda is on the market, I think, other than Arrieta, he'll be the most sought-after starting pitcher, which is insane.
Yeah, they're still. I feel like the contracts for pitchers are still. They're not as long as they were. I think a 3 to 4 year deal is one that you can. How many years did what's his face Blister Boy get from the Dodgers?
Three years. But he's 39 years old. I mean, how old is Pineda? Pineda's still young, 27, right?
Yeah, he's in his late 20s. So, I still think he's going to be
28.
Probably a 4 year contract is realistic. Anyway, whatever. The fact is, yes, I think Marco Estrada of all of those guys is the one that I would want the most. He wouldn't command the most money. Arrieta would probably command a lot of money. He's been on and off. I don't trust him because of his Baltimore years either. And Estrada is just one of those guys who goes in. Marco Estrada reminds me of Kuroda, where
he's
just goes
old
in.
Too, right? How old is he?
I don't think Marco Estrada is that old. He's got to be around 30.
33.
Anyway, 33, fine. Okay, again, even more of a comparison to Kuroda then. He's just the guy who goes in there, doesn't throw hard, but he nibbles. He hits his spots. He never really gets hit hard. He's a guy, he's a great 4-5 guy. This is a guy that can really solidify the back of a rotation, in my opinion.
But because of those names, like you said earlier, Tanaka would be crazy not to opt out. He's going to be the top pitching. He's going to be the top arm on the free agent market. He'd be foolish not to opt out.
Yes, you're right. He's going to opt out. He's going to opt out. But I think he's going to stay. I really do. Looking at this list and seeing what's happening with this team right now, remember we talked about how when we said that Tanaka, because if the Yankees were to give him money, it would have to be, we'd have to know that the rest of this team was doing well, right? We'd have to know that this team was going on the path that they thought they were going, so that they could use the prime years of Tanaka at close to the prime years or just before the prime years of this young team. And it's trending to that and in that direction. I mean, this team is ahead of pace in what we thought it was going to be. We all thought that 2018 was going to be the first season that they would really compete, and they're doing it now. It's happening. And who knows if it continues, but it's happening right now. And I do think it will continue. So this is a guy that they know what they're getting from him. I can definitely see them locking him down, especially when you look at those other names. The other option is they're going to go out, you know, maybe they could do something on the trade market, but that's, because they do have the arsenal for a trade. That's one thing to look at.
Yeah.
But Tanaka is a guy that they're probably going to continue. Pineda is one of those guys that just, I'm sure, drives everybody in the front office nuts too. Just like everybody else watching. I mean, the dude's got all world talent, but who, God knows what you're getting.
Yeah. Proceed at your own risk with Pineda.
Yeah. Granted, he's been great this year though. I mean, good for him.
Right. But proceed at your own risk.
Got to get that money.
All right, final questions from Nathan, and he says, would you rather have Chris Carter be the everyday center fielder or have Brian Mitchell be the everyday first baseman?
I would rather have Brian Mitchell be the everyday first baseman.
Yes, but it would be more fun to watch Chris Carter try and catch balls out in center field.
Not if I'm a Yankee fan.
No, not if you're a Yankee fan.
No, it would not be fun at all, actually.
Because
then we have to see him hit, too. So I'd rather watch Brian Mitchell hit.
I was genuinely thinking Chris Carter was going to strike out against Montero. Yes, on Saturday night.
I was honestly scared for everybody. I was like, none of these guys could strike out. Please don't strike. I really didn't want Chase Headley to strike out because I didn't want to hear it from you. I know you did. And Ref Snyder. I'm glad Ref Snyder just saw the first fastball and just hit it as hard as he could.
That error from our boy Ref was not, did not.
Yeah, it's a tough play, but yeah, he should have at least gloved it.
That's not going to go a long way for playing time for Rob Refsnyder. Let's just say that.
No, it's not. It's not.
All right, we're going to take you guys out with voicemails for the first time. We want to get this going. We want people to leave a hot take, a question, not a question, a hot take, a rant, a funny quip, a soliloquy, whatever it may be on the voicemail line. You can do that by calling 646-480-0342. You can tweet us at Yankees Podcast, at Andrew_Rotondi, at Scott Reinen, and submit mailbag questions at bronxpinstripes.com/podcast. So enjoy listening to these voicemails, and we'll talk to you guys in a few days.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
I must be out, or I pick up the phone.
Where could I be? Believe it or not, I'm not home.
It only took 6 hours, but we did it. We swept the Cubs. I got to imagine Girardi's beating his head about pulling Holiday and Judge, but he got it done, doubleheader in one night. 20 wins, Yankees are looking great so far, just Girardi's overmanaging again. Go Yankees.
I want to complain about the strike box that comes on ESPN. I hate it.
I got something to say. As much as we have been saying that we want to trade Brett Gardner, and the fact that this guy has no future on this team, has been beat up, and has not done very well at the end of seasons, I will be the first to admit that I am wrong. This guy is obviously very crucial and part of the heart and soul of this team. And when you are down 2-0 after failing and failing with runners in scoring position in the top of the 9th inning, and you hit a 3-run bomb where balls are not leaving the park, where the wind is catching everything, that's ridiculous. This is a guy that cannot only be measured with the numbers on the back of his baseball card, but be measured in the intangibles that he has and the leadership that he brings to the team. Watching him run the bases, just getting fired up, just absolutely makes me know that I was wrong about Brett Gardner, and this is a guy that absolutely should be on this team. Go Yankees.
With 5-0 lead, it's important to worry about the important things, like Joe Buck's thanks.
I mean, I'm watching this first inning, and it's fucking crazy, right? First seven guys, got 6 hits, 3 doubles, or 4 doubles, I don't even fucking know, who cares? This team's fun to watch, man. This is the most fun Yankees team I think I've seen, honestly, since I've been alive. I mean, 09 was fun, but this team's, I think, more talented. Pitching's not there, but... we'll get there. This lineup is serious. I think it's the best lineup in baseball, and I mean that.
Yes, this is Mark calling from North Carolina. Just sitting here watching the game, pumped up after that 5-run first inning, and hopefully we get a good start out of Monty and get this win. Got 2 outs so far, so it's looking good. But hey, we're playing well. We're winning games. That's what the Yankees are about.
Aaron Judge, the next Derek Jeter. Yankees are taking it all the way. World Series, baby. Let's go. Come on.
I can't watch Chris Carter hit anymore. I just can't. I mean, what? Can you imagine this lineup if Greg Bird is healthy and swinging the bat like Greg Bird swings the bat? I mean, we got to get him off first base. Chris Carter is an outlier on this team. The only thing I can think of is putting Headley at first and putting Torres at third. I mean, I'd rather have Torres in the lineup than Carter. I mean, what do you guys think?
Yeah, so I understand that Carter is a first baseman and Matt Holliday isn't, but why wouldn't Girardi play Matt Holliday if he's having better at-bats and having been better this year?
Wow, this game is really frustrating. Could have stopped something in the sixth. And then you take the bat out of Holiday's and the next innings. Poor choices.
Are you kidding me? With that win last night, down 9-1. Aaron Judge is a 3-run bomb, down 9-4. And then Ellsbury comes and hits a grand slam, down 11-8. And then Matt Holliday in the 10th, in what all is man, Wolverine himself, hits a 3-run jack to win the game. No undershirt. I love it. I love it. I love what this team's doing. I'm all in, baby. Have a good day, boys.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it, and go Yankees.